This was recorded at the 12th Chinwag live event, Measuring Social Media, on February the 18th, 2007 in London, featuring on the panel Alex Burmaster of Nielsen Online, Robin Grant from 1000 Heads, Will McInnes of Nixon McInnes, and Ankur Shah from TechLightenment, with Jim Stern, chair of the Web Analytics Association, chairing the panel. The event was produced by Deirdre Malloy and Sam Michelle of Chinwag. The event was sponsored by eMetrics Marketing Optimization Summit and Nedsat. At eMetrics Marketing Optimization Summit, 20 to 21st of May in London, learn how to make your online presence pay with demonstrable metrics. Nedsat is European leader in website analytics. Nedsat's expertise lies in delivering intuitive reports on users' behavior online, providing accurate information to make online operations more effective and accountable.
The Web Analytics Association is a bunch of people who measure click-throughs and page views, and it came out of the eMetrics conference, the eMetrics Marketing Optimization Summit, because after 3 or 4 years of that conference, people said, gee, there should be something beyond just meeting once a year. We should have an association. So the conference begat the association, and I'm sort of the head evangelist of all of that. I'm interested in measuring everything, not just click-throughs and page views, but customer satisfaction, and now social media, social networking. How do you measure that? It is sticky. It is engaging. It is connected. It is full of interest and full of opinion and full of emotion. And how on earth do you measure that? So our esteemed panelists are going to try to answer that very question. It's the one question I've got for everybody. And if you've got, does everybody have speaker biographies? You all get that? Some did, some didn't. We're gonna start at the top in order. We've got Alex, Robin, Will, and Ankur, and we're going to start with Alex. The question is, how do you measure this stuff?
Thank you very much indeed, Jim. For those of you who are familiar with Nielsen Online, we're sort of a mixture now of Nielsen Net Ratings, which is the panel-based measurement company, and we're measuring social media in that regards in terms of benchmarking websites and consumer behavior and demographics. So, you know, who are the people visiting YouTube, MySpace, Flickr, and so on? How do they behave on those websites? Who are they? What's the sort of overlap within that ecosystem? So are people, you know, how do people navigate between Facebook, MySpace, and so on? On the second side of things, which is sort of new for Nielsen Online, which is the Buzzmetrics side of things, we're essentially measuring consumer conversations on the internet. So our pool, our reservoir of content, if you like, is about currently about 73 million blogs and about 3 billion consumer conversations. So from that ocean, if you like, of insight on consumer conversations about, you know, whatever it might be, we are sort of providing insight for clients in terms of what people are talking about in relation to their brand or their product, their service, their company, whatever it might be. So we're essentially, if you like, sort of plotting the DNA of their particular brand or whatever it might be of interest to them, whether it's an issue like sustainability or, you know, PVRs, whatever it might be. So though from our point of view, those are the two very distinct ways that we are measuring social media. That's a very top-line overview.
That's a good beginning. We'll just pass it right along. So, Robin, 1,000 heads are better than one?
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. I'm Robin Grant, the Client Services Director of 1,000 Heads. We're an online word-of-mouth marketing agency, so we help our clients initiate, listen to, and engage in conversations in social media. So I'm going to take a bit of a step back here, because I think some of you may get frustrated later on for lack of real concrete answers on stuff, but I'm going to start with the good news. Well, we know that people are avoiding advertising more and more and trusting it less and less, and we know that people are relying on word-of-mouth recommendations more and more. And we know that people, as broadband penetration increases and people get used to those usage habits that broadband gives people, they're using social media more and more. That's where most of the increase in traffic on the web has come from, has gone into social media. And we also know that counterintuitively, people seem to trust other consumers' recommendations online as if they were genuine down the pub with your mates, word of mouth recommendations. And several studies over the last few years have indicated all of those points. So then actually, you know, if we look at trying to look at, you know, what does that actually mean to a company's bottom line? There are several academic studies that we can point to. One of the most famous being Paul Marsden's study of the FTSE 100 to look at the Net Promoter Score and how advocacy may or may not drive sales growth. And what he found was that the higher the Net Promoter Score rating, a Net Promoter Score is just a simple question that companies can ask their questioners, is how likely are you to recommend our product or service? And it shows a very strong correlation between sales growth and positive Net Promoter Scores, and then also a strong correlation with the amount of detractors out there, the people are saying negatives about your brand in terms of negative sales growth, if that makes sense. There are also a couple of interesting studies that have come out recently. One, looking at the sale of books online and looking at the number of positive conversations about those books in blogs and forums, and then the Amazon.com sales ranking. And again, there's a positive correlation between positive online conversation and sales. And you look at the graphs and they're very similar shape. And then another one, much more recently, just released a couple of weeks ago, another study, again, based on Amazon sales data, because it's publicly available, this time looking at the sales of new album releases, new music releases, and again, a very strong positive correlation between the number of blog posts or forum posts about a particular album or piece of music and its sales. And then also, interestingly, this time, a positive correlation between the number of MySpace friends that band has and their album sales. However, that is fairly much it. So fairly sort of academic and fluffy studies, not really applicable in any sort of normal client scenario. In terms of actually measuring conversations out there, again, that's quite easy. We can measure what people are saying about your brand or product or service. We can measure the number of conversations, the number of contributions to those conversations, the estimated reach of all those conversations, the overall sentiment of those conversations, whether that's positive, neutral, or negative. And then sentiment, you know, drilling down into a number of different products. For example, you know, the sentiment about the brand, the sentiment about the price of the product, the sentiment about the product itself, the availability of the product, et cetera, et cetera. And we can obviously measure that data over time and see trends and slice and dice that however we want. It is hard, though, to prove a direct ROI, especially on a campaign level. It's often very hard to get a client to sign up to proper objectives. Often, especially with marketing clients, are often looking for visits to their brand website rather than actually what we're trying to do is drive consideration and awareness. You know, and they're a very different part of the purchase funnel, and also very, you know, that the objective shouldn't necessarily be to drive them to a brand website. The conversation is happening in social media. That's where we can influence people's behaviour and change people's behaviour. That's probably it for now. I'll pass you over.
Hi, everyone. I'm Will. I'm from an agency called Nixon McGuinness. We call ourselves a social media agency, which is an attempt to get as many appalling buzzwords in the company, what we do, as possible. A couple of things, just to be the kind of token skeptic. I think all of us that work in this industry or have a large interest in it from the client side are tired of being told that we crunch 71 million blogs a second, or there are 13 new wikis created every minute. I frankly find that not particularly useful. And I also am somewhat skeptical that someone can say a bunch of machines or a server cabinet can measure sentiment and can actually tell you the quality of conversations that people are having out here. In fact, I think that the word measuring and then conversation put next to one another is bizarre and slightly dystopian. It speaks of a strange future where robots, culture humans. So that's kind of an attempt to start the conversation. I think I'd just like to make a couple of statements. I think one is that, and this isn't helpful and it isn't particularly deep, but measuring complexity is difficult. And it's chaotic. And social media is, we could have a whole panel or maybe a three-day conference on what is social media. I think humans are slow, and I think machines are dumb. And I think that at the moment what we have is a problem where neither is right for what we need. And I think that at the moment there's a risk that the promises are overblown in this particular market area. Set against that, I think the fact that we've all congregated here this evening is an incredible yardstick for the size of the business opportunity. So there's no doubt that we're all unified around the problem. It's a massive business opportunity, and the solution is exciting. I think with another statement I would make is that are buzz monitoring firms monitoring their buzz? Because if they are, it's only a few conversations because only a few people have bought so far, but the sentiment isn't good. And so I think there's still a huge market need at the moment. I think for me, there's also some stuff coming out of the world of statisticians, however you say that word, which we also really need to take on board. What we're good at in the web industry is technology and stuff like that. But there are huge kind of loopholes in what we're doing at the moment. So what constitutes proof? Can these providers talk to us coherently about sample size, about standard deviation? I have to admit, I've read the definition of standard deviation on Wikipedia, which is social media, several times and still don't quite understand it. And also, like, how useful is a proprietary yardstick versus industry standards? Moving on, I think you can smell success. The projects that we do for our clients, when they work, everyone knows they've worked. So searching for the one number that's going to tell you the result, I think, is deeply flawed. And the Net Promoter Score, there's a huge discussion, Robin, I'm sure you're aware, about the validity of it. As humans, when we come to managing complexity, we love the idea that one number is going to tell us the result. It's bollocks. And it's been shown to be bollocks by other academics. And the guy that wrote Net Promoter Score is revising his theories. Lastly, I think that I've run out of things to say.
Pass that microphone down.
Okay. Hi, I'm Ankur Shah from Tech Licensing. It's always difficult following Will, and it's not the first time I've done it, but larger two things, I think, taken from what Will says, because he knows a lot bigger words than I do. Complexity and bollocks. So I think largely that covers social media in a T, I think, is where we're going from. But I think what we look at, the way we're looking at social media, largely is a single proposition, and it touches on what I think all of the esteemed speakers have just said, is that it's about treating people as people. So we're moving away from this idea of users and IP addresses and people as kind of web analytics scores, but actually finding out that they're actually real people, that they're humans. And it sounds very cliche to say so, but I think in the last 6 or so months that we've been deeply engaged in this, we've found out that actually these are real people. It's a bit of a shock to the system, and it can be, especially when you're used to apportioning marketing budgets to getting people down on paper and getting users and acquiring users, that actually these are humans with real demographics, with real influence, with a real possibility for change. And I think understanding that and measuring that gives you a greater indication than anything that we're actually entering, not a new media or a new social media or an old new media, but actually that this is an entirely new way of addressing the way we market. And it's quite interesting because we actually end up going back to a very old model of marketing. It's one we term internally as going back to the village bakery of sorts. You go into a village bakery and your baker knows exactly what kind of bread you like. And if there's a new type of bread, well, he'll offer you a new type of bread. And he doesn't measure that. He knows it intuitively. So from that sense of intuition, technology now offers you that scope. Facebook, classic example. When you come onto Facebook and you arrive on a new application, it knows how old you are. It knows who you are. Using software that we've developed, we know who your closest friend is. We don't want to use that just for the sake of using it. We want to use it so that when we respond to you, we're able to respond to you in an entirely new way, in a way that's customized to you. And it's not necessarily about manipulating you. It's actually about socializing within the space that you're in. So I think when we're talking about measuring social media, yeah, we're very curious about ROI. In fact, it's probably the most important thing, and it's the main driver. But that's enveloped within this notion of context, that all of you operate within a particular context. I think what makes social media so exciting for all of us, especially at Tech Lightning, is that all of our clients and everyone we deal with actually has a very strong grasp of the subject, whether they're new to marketing or not. And I'm very new to marketing, but you have a very strong grasp of it because all of you engage within a social network. You all have an offline social network. And that understanding of people can be driven right back into your measurements of your campaign and the measurement of the success of your campaign. So for that reason, I think fundamentally social networks and social media isn't a new or a new industry or a new way of looking at things. In fact, it's a very old way of doing things. I think with that backdrop, the whole notion of measuring buzz and measuring success, I think it puts a whole new gloss and a new light on it. But looking forward to this discussion, I think.
Thank you. I've learned one thing specifically. I am slow and my computer is dumb. I've lived that way all my life so far, and I'm stuck with it, I'm afraid. I'm fascinated by the fact that we're coming at the problem, and I'm not even sure of the definition of the problem, but we're coming at it from two different sides. One side is, what do people do? What's their behavior? They click on this, they post to that, they drill down that, they host that widget on their website, they come back to the web or they don't, they buy something or they don't. And on the other end, their actual intentions and their attitudes and their opinions. So I've got behavior and I'm trying to impugn attitude and intention based on their clicks, and then I've got their actual opinion and I'm trying to guess what their purchase behavior might be based on what they say about me. And we're coming at it from two completely different sides here. So I want to ask one more question and run down the line here. I've actually got two questions and I'm going to open up to everybody. The first one is, your younger sister comes up to you and says, I've just been hired to be the manager of social media for Vauxhall. What do I need to know? What's the one thing I need to know? The one most important thing to know?
I'm going to answer that by partly taking a swipe at Will's comments there. Not surprisingly, obviously, from a personal point of view, I completely understand where he's coming from about the idea of when you're trying to measure what human beings are saying, the inherent worry and that side of things. But from a sort of, obviously, Nielsen, somewhat of a research behemoth, so they've got all this technology. It can be done. I mean, we are doing it for, 19 of the top 20 advertisers in the US are clients, the top 15 pharmaceutical companies are all spending money with us to find out exactly what consumers are saying and how we measure that data. And it can be done. I don't really understand the terms being used and so on. I mean, I've got things like machine learning, AI, natural language processing technology, text analytic processing programs, which I've just written down so it looks like I know what I'm talking about, but I haven't got a Scooby about what those things do. All I know is that those technologies have been honed over sort of the last 9 years in the US. Has been I'm going to throw stats out again, which Will will hate, about $50 million worth of investment, and these things have been honed over the years of work with our clients and so on to find, so that you ultimately get the insight that you ultimately need. In terms of Jim's question, I suppose, it's difficult to say what is the one thing that you want to know, but I think whatever it is, that one thing is there. If you are able to term, whether it's us or whoever you might be using, whatever tools that they have, just to try and have a snapshot, really, a one-stop shop, if you like, about what people are saying about your brand. And this can be something, I think, probably most of the providers do this. If you were only to spend, I don't know, whatever it was, 5-10 grand, whatever it was, on one single thing for your, to ultimately help your marketing strategy, further your business and so on. I think if you had a one pager of a sort of a map, if you like, of what people thought about your brand, the DNA of your brand, I used that term before, I think the insight that all aspects of the organization get, I mean, we do these things and, the CEO uses them as a sort of to check the health of the company, marketers use them as, to identify opportunities, PR people use them to identify threats and so on. That sort of thing, you mentioned it, they were the marketer for social media, but this is something that every single customer service, every single rung of the organization can use to sort of ultimately improve your business.
Yeah, I'm going to cheat slightly and give two answers. Just to echo Alex, and I think that's vitally important, is to really understand what people are saying about you online. I think one thing we mustn't forget is that it's not just how those individuals feel that have written those comments on forums or blogs or consumer review sites or on Facebook or MySpace, etc. It's who those conversations reach and how people receive those conversations. I mean, just going back to what I said at the beginning, people are receiving those conversations as genuine word of mouth. They are very influenced by them, and large numbers of people are exposed to them. It's not just three people down the pub. It's 50,000 people that read that forum thread. It's vitally important to, you know, as those studies have shown, to your company's bottom line. And if you don't understand that and disseminate and do something about that information throughout the entire organisation, you know, one of the things I might say actually is I should be speaking to the CEO, not the social media manager. And then secondly, I think, you know, specifically from a marketing and communications perspective, it would be to change the way you're advertising. I mean, people, as we've talked about, do ignore advertising more and more and trust it less and less. So I think any advertising you do either should be have a social media component. I have some element that is about getting people to talk about your brand or your product, your service in a positive manner. And some, you know, ourselves included, but other agencies too, are now looking at how you design your advertising, not for the target audience of the product, but design your advertising to provoke positive word of mouth in those likely to talk about your product, which may actually be two completely different targets. So
if a friend or relative was getting a job with Vauxhall as their social media person, I'd say you need to recognise that it's not what you measure, it's what you do with it. And the most important thing you can do is get into product development, ignore the marketing people, ignore the PR people. Fundamentally, I read this thing earlier in the week which really stuck with me, and it's just bouncing around inside my brain. And it's marketing is a tax for the unremarkable. And that's really bad for me because I spend quite a lot on marketing. But, you know, I would say that's the role of marketing in the future, is to go back up the food chain, create better and better products. How much does Apple spend? How much does Dyson spend? How much does Skype spend compared to how much we all spend? So make Vauxhall the most remarkable car manufacturer in the world, and everything will flow from that.
So it's always difficult to follow him, because I'm sure he read my notes. But anyway, in terms of data and response, I think that's exactly our point, really. I think measuring social media is all good and well. You can spend all day doing it, but it's only useful. And this is absolutely, I think, the fact that we've realised with numerous brands, is that it's only useful if you're able to respond to it and you're able to tweak and adapt your campaign and the way you respond to the outside world, and then subsequently again measure. So you're constantly measuring. This isn't a one-off exercise. You don't just measure once and then subsequently say, great, I've measured it, it's all gone well, we've got a great ROI. The reality is, once you measure, you tweak, you measure again, you tweak again, and you keep on going so that your brand is adapting to the circumstances in the environment around you. And that's absolutely key. And it's what differentiates marketing now and the possibilities now, especially with technology, to what was possible 5 years ago. So while it's absolutely fantastic that brands are spending $50 million on finding out what their brand is and what the DNA of their brand is, that spend is largely pointless unless they're actually able to respond to the need in the market and actually dominate the market by responding to what their users require. And I think an interesting example for us was we did the Bob Dylan Facebook application, and on day one, we had about 4,500 users. We knew that. We knew that it would seed well. And one solitary user had moaned about a banner ad on a Facebook profile page. Sony immediately responded to that. They immediately responded to what effectively was a measurable conversation, if that's how you want to put it. And they asked, can we remove the banner ad? They did. And they got an incredible response as a result. But that kind of transparency and that response to the measurement of social media is far, far more important than just the per se measurement of social media. So that's long-winded advice, but it's probably the one I'd give.
Can we just very quick question. How many of you have put your brand name or your product name or something relevant to your role into Delicious as a search term and seen what people have bookmarked? And how many of you here use Google Alerts? That's good. How many of you have seen the blog post tool, which I think might be from the Nielsen stable? Look, I would say these are the places to start. Delicious is a search engine formed by people. It's all of our bookmarks, which is also searchable. Put some stuff in there and see what people have bookmarked. There are great ways to qualitatively deal with this problem as opposed to quantitatively deal with it. And we do need machines. I can't say that word. But, you know, that's where these guys fit in. But there are so many easier places to start.
I've spent a good portion of my consulting career trying to convince corporations run by old white guys that they need to listen to their customers. Just ask them questions, do surveys, listen to what they're saying online. And what we're learning with this ability to measure in this way is that we can not only listen, but we can then respond. And not just respond in, oh, let's change our message a little bit to the marketplace as we broadcast it, but actually get involved in the conversation. My last question, and then you're all going to be thinking of your own, right? Because we've got some roving microphones, I've been told, and we're going to bring those out in a second. Ankur, I'm going to start down at your end and work my way back. This question is, with all the research that you've been doing and the measuring that you've been doing and the work with the clients that you've been doing, what is the most interesting thing about social media to you? What just gets you all riled up and out of bed in the morning?
Wow. Will McInnes gets me out of bed in the morning. That's yeah.
We don't have to go into your personal life.
I was going to say, actually,
I get him into bed in the first place.
You actually deal with old white guys. I think we tend to deal with short Indian guys most of the time, but we'll worry about that later. I think mostly, again, going back to the idea that these are real people, that we've actually got this fantastic opportunity to go back to real people doing real things and not to just end up manipulating them and exploiting them all the time. And it sounds like a far cry. Have we been doing that? I don't know. But actually, the technology is now in place to deal with people as them. You know who they are. You know what they do. So if I know you're 19, you like Coldplay, and you live in London, then why am I not showing you relevant content? Why am I not measuring what you're telling me and then responding accordingly and not just thrusting nonsense down your throat? Why am I not actually responding to you? So that ability, I think, now for us, both as an agency and for the brands and the opportunity this presents, to react and respond to you as real human beings is probably the most exciting opportunity I think we're faced with.
Thank you. Will, besides Ankur, what gets you out of bed in the morning?
Yeah. I think the possibilities presented by social media are devastatingly exciting. I think that it's very easy to forget that the internet is a network, and the network is made up of little bits and pieces, and those are us. And that what it's given us is a means to aggregate ourselves and to unite and cluster around things that we care about. I think the potential of this is so much more than selling handbags. We can change so much for so much good using the power of social media.
Robin.
I'm going to take a slightly more selfish viewpoint. It really is the opportunity to do stuff that no one's ever done before. Especially on the outbound side, the monitoring is one thing, but actually putting together campaigns to try and stimulate positive word of mouth and actually make a real difference in a marketing context. You're doing stuff that no one has ever done before on a daily basis. And that's exciting and it's interesting. And, you know, however much you think you know how things are going to pan out at the beginning of a campaign, it never quite works out that way and you learn something new. And it really is an amazing sort of place to be right now, I think.
Alex?
Yeah, I mean, following on from what the guys were saying earlier about it's not about measuring, it's what you do with it. I think it's when we sort of find something of real interest to a client and then how they go about tackling it. I mean, I'll just give you one example. We had a client in the US who manufactured washing machines, not particularly sexy by any stretch of the imagination, but they started to receive fan mail, which was quite surprising, really. But that's Americans for you, I suppose. But But anyway, So they decided to dig a little deeper what was happening, what were people saying in the blog sphere and so on. So we were monitoring the conversations and it sort of started as people were discussing, you know, how much they could fit in this washing machine that it actually cleaned and so on. So, it, you know, it was started, you know, someone put 5 blankets, 10 blankets, so on. Then someone put a big, huge Fred Flintstone, things like this. And it was sort of ongoing and people were, I think there's something else as well with blend this or something. Yeah. There's a blender or something. It's along those lines. People were trying different things. And I mean, what happened was, just from the client's perspective, one of the themes that came out of this was people were saying how many Little League uniforms they managed to wash in the, and that's sort of like mini baseball, isn't it? It's for kids. It's massive in the States. So, you know, so what they did was they undertook a huge sponsorship and marketing campaign around Little League and youth organisation events in the US. And that was a really sort of quite a sort of fun and sweet and obvious way of learning about what had happened in the blogosphere and actually doing something with it. So those sort of little nuggets are the real exciting things for us, I think.
Yeah. So there's a case where you've got a washing machine. How unremarkable is that? And yet, if you listen, your audience will tell you what's remarkable about your product, and you turn that around and make it the message. Be able to respond to them and make it remarkable and stop paying that tax on boring products. I'm excited about all of those things. The fact that it's new, every day we wake up, it's something new to try. That we can actually really hear our customers now and find out what it is they want so that we can tell them whether we can deliver that or not, rather than say, oh, we know what you should buy because we're college educated, we're the R&D folks, we're the engineers who created this thing, you will like it and you will buy lots of it. Instead, what do you want from us? Hey, we can deliver that. Or, gee, we didn't know our product included that kind of value. So I want to find out what kind of value is in this panel by finding out what the social network in this room wants from this panel. Let me turn it on its ear. Where are our roving microphones? There's one. We've got hands up all over. I'm going to let you take it away.